Amen. We're turning to this psalm that we read together, the Psalm 42, and with God's word open before us, let's bow just together in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that is ours of having the freedom to take Your word, to be able to read it and meditate upon it and preach the word of the living God. And we pray that that might ever be our privilege, and that we might ever preserve the word of the living God and the freedom that we have at this time. We pray now that you will cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. What I want to try to do this morning is to speak upon spiritual depression. Over these past weeks and months, there is a tremendous pressure has been brought to bear upon God's children. And a lot of God's children are down in the dumps, and they're feeling down with all that is happening in the world around us. And the Lord laid this upon my heart some time ago, and we made out a message on it, and we feel that this is what we should be speaking on this morning. The text we have in the Psalm, the verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Why art thou cast down, verse 11, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And the last verse of the Psalm 43, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The times in which we live has changed immensely in the past few years. We live in a changing world, and it has brought tremendous pressure to bear upon all of society. There is the financial pressure, there is the employment, there is the family situations, there is illness, there is false religion, and there's the law of the land changed from being based on the law of God to suit sin of every shape and form. They all bring pressure to bear on the true born-again Christian trying to live for the Lord. Many, over the past days and months and years, have become spiritually depressed, fearful of what's happening around them. Even in the past weeks, the Asher Bakery case of the MacArthur family being taken to court, and the prayers that went up for that case, and many said, and people have come to me and said, "Well, no, God didn't answer prayer." Let me tell you, God did answer prayer. God allowed that judge to make that decision in his permissible will. Now, why he allowed that, we don't know. It could be that when the case comes up again, that there will be an even greater victory. Or it could be in God's will and permissible will. It's for his glory and his honor. The law changed down south, allowing sodomites to marry. And then we have Pastor McConnell charged for speaking the truth on Islam. And God has allowed these things to happen. May be that you've come to God's house today, and because of different pressures that are upon your life, you've come and you're depressed, you're downhearted, your problems seem to be getting bigger, and everyone you meet, you moan about all this happening in your life. Or else you're the opposite and you try to hide it from all. even from the nearest and dearest and the closest to you, and you bottle it up. And there's a lot of people doing that even today. The N word, of course, today is depression. Someone said to me one day, you know, if you go to the doctor and he doesn't know what's wrong with you, he tells you you're depressed. And he gets you out the door with tablets with you and thinks he's done a good job. But you know, when we get spiritually depressed, the devil uses it to drive us further down and become moaners. And the world says, where's your God now? David said in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And the psalmist was so far down that the world looking on said, surely your God has forgotten you. Where is your God now? And you know, the world, even at this particular time, and the land in which we're in with what has happened, the world is looking and saying, your God is not interested anymore. Why are you praying to God? Why are you going on that way? The world is mocking God's word today. Now, human beings, of course, are different, whether they're saved or not. Some have a nature that is introvert and always looking into themselves, how they live in comparison to everyone else. Their lot in life is so bad compared to everyone else. And you know, for the Christian, the devil will use this to drive them to despair. You see, the devil is real, and the devil attacks at the lowest point in a person's life. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the wilderness, and the devil after 40 days, when he was in hunger, and he was down at his lowest, in came the devil with his temptations at that time. Now, of course, the devil cannot possess a Christian. But he will oppress the Christian. And he'll sit on your shoulder. And he'll tempt you. And he'll do his best to get you to sin. And in a lot of cases, that happens. And people have get so taken up with their self-examination that all becomes a burden, driving them away from the Lord. And they sin and they lose fellowship with the Lord. And self becomes their God. Me, me, and me. And they're always looking at self. But then there's others. And they're extroverts. And they live in a world of fantasy. All the problems that they have are passed over as if they didn't exist. And they live life from day to day, as if nothing would ever go wrong. If they were sitting in the house and the roof blew off some night, they still would sit on at the fire and wouldn't worry where the roof had went to. And that's what they live life. But you know, when they get to that stage, the devil comes in and leads them into sin. And they end up with a seared conscience. And 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Until their problems escalate, until their world collapses around them, ending up depressed and destroying their testimony, and bringing the name of Christ into disrepute. You see, the devil is real. And he uses our frailties to have our friends and the world say, where is your God now? Job, of course, 5 and 7 tells us, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Salvation does not take away the problems of life. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our salvation, helps us to cope with them. If we live close to the Lord, and if we obey his word. The world rejected the Lord Jesus. And so too you and I, who are the saved of the Lord, who stand for the Bible and for God's word and the truth of this book, we will be rejected by the world. Thank God we need not remain depressed and downhearted. Let us look at this psalm and see what the psalmist did. And here we have the psalmist in distress and pressures of life affecting him, yet he talks to his soul. You know, we need to realize that the devil uses our soul to talk to us. Wake up in the morning and immediately our soul or our self says, what a day is ahead. Look at the problems you have today. Look at the problems you had yesterday. Look at the problems you're going to have in a few weeks' time. And you know, some get so depressed they don't want to get out of bed. Of course, there's people who don't want to get out of bed anyway, even they're not depressed. But you know, we get so down and so depressed that they don't want to get up. But you're in good company, as we've said maybe before, Elijah. He was so far down. Oh, he'd seen revival. He'd seen the fire fall. He had seen God bless in a tremendous way. And yet, because of a woman, Jezebel, he was out and he wanted God to take him away, take his life. Some of you men are depressed because of the woman, but you won't admit it. King David, the psalmist that wrote the Psalms, what did he say in Psalm 55 and verse 6? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. All because of a controversy with somebody in the church. And he was so depressed, he wanted to get away. And so we need to realize that when we do feel like that, we're just feeling normal. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. You know, that is tremendous. Whenever we pour out our soul within us. Oh, the psalmist here tells us in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. In the midst of depression, he is seeking after God with all his heart. He talks to his soul, and he says, why art you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And in the verse 1, he gives us 2 and 3, that his as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Here was a personal plea coming from the heart of the psalmist. My soul thirsteth for God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, the thirst of the animal was for water. But you know, you and I, our thirst is for the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? Without me ye can do nothing. And our continual plea should be, Lord, come and help me. I need you every moment of every day. Day and night he was oppressed of the devil, and though the world was mocking him, questioning him regarding the power of his God, and the further down we get, the devil will seek to destroy our testimony for the Lord. Oh, take your eyes off the Lord and off his power and onto yourself. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Get caught up with what you can do. Many today are Sunday morning only Christians. Whereas David in the verse 4, he said, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And he remembers better days with God's people in the house of God. And you know, it is the Christian's duty to be in the house of God. with other believers. Now, people have said to me, you know, Ronnie, I can be a Christian without going to church. I said, that's right, you can. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But I said, you're disobeying God's word if you don't go. Because the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it's God's purpose and plan that we gather together on the Lord's day and that we come into his presence. Now, I'm not talking about the elderly or the sick that would be there if possible. But there's so many today in God's children and all denominations, including our own, and they're Sunday morning onlys. They never darken the door of a prayer meeting. They never come out on a Sunday night except there's something special on. And you know, we need in these days to realize that we need to be with God's people in God's house and have fellowship with God's people. Many today are in that position. Are a lot of God's children today not spiritually depressed at the progress of the wicked in our land? Yea, even over the whole world. As the Bible standards are cast aside even by mainstream Protestant churches today. We had that woman Presbyterian minister in Portadown, Christine Bradley. And she says that same-sex marriage should be endorsed. We had the Church of Scotland Presbytery vote 309 for and 183 against ordination of sodomites in a civil relationship to the ministry. The land of Knox and the Covenanters, so blessed by the gospel of free and sovereign grace, and yet today, the church is prepared to ordain sodomites. Totally contradictory to the word of the living God. Are we not seeing prophecy being fulfilled as the world is being prepared for the Antichrist and the great tribulation prior to the Lord's return in power and glory? I've seen and Googled it. You know, you can get a lot of information from Google if you know how to Google. But I put into Google about man who says he is Jesus. And there was a man, and he said openly in an interview, he says, in 1973, Christ came back and he came into me and I'm now Christ. And he has followers here and there over the world. What did the Bible say? In that day before the Lord returns, many shall come in my name saying that they are the Christ. And that is a sign. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3 tells us, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And things are going to get worse. A leading sodomite said, we will force same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland through the courts, even if Stormont continues to vote against it. Now, that's what we have in the land that has been so greatly blessed that we live in. The vote for the same-sex marriage in the South has been hailed as a tremendous victory. 60-something percent voted for it. That's nonsense. There was a paper had it properly. 62% of a 61% turnout voted. And that is 38% just of the people in the South of Ireland voted for it. The rest, 40% was it, that didn't vote at all, and the rest voted against it. And so they twist the whole thing to uplift that which is against God's word and against the evil. 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, how can we cope with these situations when we are at wit's end corner? The devil depressing us. Life in general depressing us. Oh, the first step is to realize where we are and to do what David did. He talked to the Lord. Hope thou in God, he says to his soul. Why, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's where the Christian's help comes from. Nowhere else. We have a God in heaven who is ready and waiting to help us. And the psalmist said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, and he will come and help. Let us not remain depressed, but realize we have God as our heavenly Father. Go to God's medicine cupboard. You know, most houses today have a medicine cupboard, and if you opened the door and didn't take a step back, you could have that much medication coming out round you. But when we go to this Bible, this book of God, it's a medicine cupboard for us. You take Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. That's what God says. Don't be fearful. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Why? Because he is our refuge and he is our strength and he is a very present help in trouble. First, let us remember that God is in control of the affairs of this world. You see, it's not man that's controlling the world today, although it appears that way by the TV and by all that's going on in the papers. God is sovereign in the affairs of this old world. In Daniel 4:35, he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Our God is in control. And he allows what is happening for his purpose, in his permissible will. Psalm 4 and verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And Luke 12:7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You see, God is on the throne in heaven. Let us give God his rightful place. And realize that our God, yes, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath who hates the sin that's going on in the world around you. And he will deal with it in his time. The New Testament makes it clear where God's law is in relationship to sexual activity. And if ever there was a sexual perverted time, it's now that we're living in. Romans 1:27, people will say, oh, there's nothing to do with sodomy in the New Testament. And Romans 1:27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves their recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind void of judgment to do those things which are not convenient. And Luke 17:27, and they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They got away in Noah's day for years with their sin and their wickedness. But it caught up with them. And verse 28 of Luke 17, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But, verse 29 says, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. God's day of judgment is coming. Now, of course, we would like to see the judgment of God quicker. That's humanity. But God and his timing is perfect. The day of judgment will come. The great white throne will be set up. The Lord Jesus will be judged. There'll be no defense. There'll be no brown envelopes. There'll be no organizations to take your part, and there'll be no devil to tell you to go ahead with what you're doing. In Revelation 6:14 it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rock, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? My dear friend, if you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, that's where you're going to be, at the great white throne judgment. And the only words that you will hear from the Savior is, depart from me, for I know you not, into everlasting darkness. Let me tell you, if you're not saved this morning, it's time you were saved. Because that day is coming quicker than what we realize. Now, I'm not saying it's coming this year or next year. The Bible says no man knoweth the day nor the hour. But we have the signs that are there, and we're living, I believe, in times that are tremendous. They're amazing, and they're the fulfillment of prophecy. And it proves this Bible is God's word. What of the saved of the Lord? And Luke 21:8 it says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And you know, those are tremendous words. For those that are saved by God's grace, we're told, when all this is happening around us in the world, look up, for the day of your redemption draweth nigh. The psalmist in the second part of the psalm comes to his God. And the verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Misser. Deep calling unto deep at the noise of thy water sprouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He describes his condition and his state of mind. Then he reminds himself of the goodness and loving kindness of his God in the past. And you know, we as God's children must continually remind ourselves of the great God that we worship and adore, the grace and mercy he bestowed upon us the day we were saved, chosen in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him. You know, you're sitting in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church this morning, saved by God's grace. Why are you here? Because the eternal God of heaven, the sovereign God of all eternity, chose you in eternity past. Hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We as God's children must continually remind ourselves of the great God we worship and adore. The grace and mercy which he has bestowed upon us the day we were saved. And verse 8 of the psalm, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then we come to that last verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Who is the health of my countenance and my God? The last verse, he sees that hope in God is not in vain, but he will praise God. In Psalm 146, in the verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. And I trust that you thank God every day for your salvation. The day of trial will pass. All will be well in heaven forever. Now, of course, sometimes our trials is because of sin in our lives. Jonah sinned against God. And God put him into the belly of a fish and took him to the depths of the sea because he refused to go God's way. And you and I that are God's children, if we sin, there is the judgment of God or the chastisement of God upon us sometimes. I remember an elder in one of our churches said that he ended up in hospital in severe pain. They couldn't find out what was wrong with him, but he said he wasn't very long in hospital until he was looking up. And he realized that there was a sin in his life that was causing the problem, and they had a battle on that hospital bed, he said. Now, I don't know what the sin was. He didn't tell me. But he says, you know, I had it out, and I confessed it and gave it up. And he said, the pain disappeared, and I haven't had it since. And he says, I believe God put me in that hospital bed for that purpose. There's times that happen. But where does sickness come from? It comes from the fall. It comes because of Adam and Eve sinning in the Garden of Eden. But sometimes God will use trials to bring us closer to himself. But then some say, well, that's the Old Testament, you know, you're talking about this morning. But the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest teachers of the gospel, used mightily of God in the early church, and yet what a life of problems he had to endure. You can read 2 Corinthians 11 when you go home. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, and so on. You know, as devastating as our troubles are, I doubt if any of us this morning could say we came through what Paul experienced. And what was his answer? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient for thee. There is nothing the child of God has to face that the grace of God is not sufficient to take us through. Let us rise above our troubles and trials and cast our all upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Looking forward to the day when we arrive in our eternal home, when all the trials and heartache will be over. What a day that is going to be. And you know, it's very easy to take your troubles to the Lord, but it's not as easy to leave them there. We're inclined to bring them back with us. But you know, whenever we are down and we're at the end of our tether, as they would say, the youngers wouldn't know what a tether was, but it's a rope they used to tie up hay with. When you come to the end of the rope, what do you do? My dear friend, you get down on your knees in private before God and tell him exactly how you feel. And say, Lord, I'm beat. I need your help. Come and help me, and thank God he has promised that he will help us. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. There is one in heaven that careth for you and for I. But you know, the devil will do his best to get us to take our eyes off God and onto ourselves. Stop looking inward. Look up to your heavenly Father, to the shepherd who loves you. The psalmist David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that's where our help comes from. The cure for spiritual depression is to stop looking at ourselves and to look continually to the Lord. Eyes fixed upon the Lord. In Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things." And you know, there's so many people today are saying, "I can do all things," and they stop there. But Paul went on, he says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." And you and I that are saved by God's grace this morning, yes, we will get down. Yes, we will get depressed. We will be caught up with the things of this world. And if we allow the devil to drive us further and further and further away, there is no knowing where we'll end up. Because the devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is devouring people today in this world in which we live. But thank God we have a loving Savior. We have a God that is sovereign in all the affairs of our lives. One who will one day take us from the presence of sin and the troubles and the trials and land us safely on that land that is fairer than day. Stop looking in. Start looking up. And then we can say, "Our God doeth all things well." And when we see these things happening around us, let us realize that God has permitted them to happen. There is a lot of things in this world we don't understand. Why did God allow young children, like that little child that was killed in that brewery on Friday? Why does God allow things like that to happen? We don't understand that. There are many, many things in life we don't understand. But there is one thing: the judge of all the earth doeth all things well. If you're not saved this morning, then I want you to realize that there is only one breath in your body between you and the lake of fire. It's as simple as that. There is no second chances. There is no purgatory. There is no deathbed in a lot of people's lives. And if God withdrew that breath from you this morning, you would go straight into the lake of fire. But thank God you're in the day of grace. And there's a God who loves you and who said, "Come unto me." Not to a church, not to a set of rules and regulations, but "Come unto me, the Lord Jesus." Why? Because I have died for you upon the cross of Calvary. I have shed my precious blood, and I'm willing to pardon your sin. I'm willing to give you new life in Christ. I'm willing to give you a home in heaven. Will you come? Will you put your trust and faith in him today? Will you cry unto God to save you? And what does he say? "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And he will save you. And he'll give you a new life to live. And he'll give you a new master to serve. You see, you're serving the devil today if you're not saved. He's in control of your heart and your soul and your life. But when Christ comes to dwell and the Holy Spirit enters, you have a new master to serve. And what a master that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow together in prayer, please.